No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on Tuesday evening, and got a busy day on Wednesday, got some personal business to attend to, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here on the show. But in addition to that, today, Wednesday, is also signing day, the early signing period, you know, for baseball and softball and men's and women's basketball. So we'll have some coverage of that tomorrow. But a lot going on. We'll also have a quick recap of tonight's men's basketball win over Southeastern Louisiana. I told you guys yesterday, it's always, you know, Southeastern, it's a team we always expect to win, but they do put up a bit of a fight. They did tonight, and instead kind of took control there in the second half, as we expected they would. Bulldogs now 3-0. So a lot going on, to say the least. And so tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm going to get up and go surprise my mom and go see her for a little bit, maybe grab awards, big one, while I'm in South Mississippi. Don't tell her I'm coming. She doesn't know. She doesn't have a clue. But I'm going to try to get on there and sneak in and see her for a little while and then head over to Purvis, Mississippi to see the Parker twins sign a Mississippi State baseball scholarship. That's going to be around 1:30. So we'll get some articles up that afternoon. And then I got to head to Ellisville. And I share this with you because we are all family. But earlier this week, I lost a first cousin who is 3 weeks younger than me. Sarita Rousey Mills is her name. And, you know, when I was a kid, and I wrote about this on Facebook a little bit today, you know, you start thinking about your own mortality a little bit, you know. Life is a gift. We hear that all the time. And we take it for granted. I know I do. But got word, I guess on Monday, that she had passed away. They found her unresponsive and not exactly sure what had taken place. But, you know, natural causes are expected. If that's, you know, if that's the appropriate description for somebody that dies at such a young age. But, yeah, it's been a difficult stretch for the family and even for myself personally, you know. I mean, you lose somebody you grow up with, you know, it gets next to you a little bit. It does. And for my Uncle Harold Rousey and my Aunt Mary Ellen, this is the second of four children that they've had to bury. And that just seems so incredibly unfair to me. And my Uncle Harold is one of the best men that I have ever known. He is a true man. And a true Southern man, and ran the automotive repair program at Jones College for many, many years. When I was at Jones, you just had to buy the part and bring him the car, and he'd fix it. You know, the guys needed work, cars to work on, you know. And so It was pretty affordable to get things done there. But when my dad died, which seems like forever and yesterday at the same time, one of the first faces that I saw afterwards, after my dad had passed away, all of his brothers and sisters were there. And in his final moments, they all got to go up and say their goodbyes to him. And what a blessing that is. I mean, truly it is. And it was very difficult. But it was made a little bit easier by knowing that all of my living aunts and uncles were there to be with him and to be with us, you know, to comfort him as he passed on, you know, to the next dimension, which I believe is heaven for him. But also, too, it was easier for us because there was just so much love and support. And here's the thing we go back to all the time, and it becomes such a cliche. And I'm very blessed to have been born into a great family. Not everybody is so equally situated. You know, a lot of people are born into some very bad situations. And so when it came to that sort of thing, your good friend and host kind of hit the lottery, right? We weren't wealthy people, but we were rich in spirit and rich in love. I'm very glad to be part of that family, that Jones County family from Ellisville, Mississippi, out there on Augusta Road. It means a lot to me. And my Uncle Harold was there. And he grabbed me as soon as it was over, and he hugged me, and he said, "Be the man that he was," talking about my dad. And I have tried very, very hard to do that. I'm very proud to be Freddie Robertson's son. My dad did some amazing things with his life, did a lot for our Mississippi farmers, because he was one. You've heard me talk about him on the show before. I come from an ag family. My dad and his brother Charles and his brother Paul slept through to a bed. Full-size bed, you know. We were as broke as the Ten Commandments, no doubt about it. But, you know, my dad wanted me to have a better life. You know, so he went to college, he went to Mississippi State, went to JUCO for a while, then went to Mississippi State, got his degree in ag economics with a minor in animal husbandry, and worked study at Mississippi State, lived in marital housing, drove the street sweeper at night, worked at the dairy, loved Mississippi State. We're all Bulldogs because of him. So that's very important to me. But so tomorrow I will be the one going to my Uncle Harold and trying to offer something that resembles some type of comfort. You know, and as I've said before, what do you say, you know, when nothing you say can make a difference? You know, and it's not even really about that. As somebody on Gene's page pointed out, you know, it's about being there. But all we really have at the end of the day is family. It's true. I mean, we forget that sometimes, but it's true. You know, our priorities get mixed up, and sometimes, you know, we place our jobs and our work and our friends and our other relationships over our family, especially our extended family. And you go through all this stuff, too, where, you know, you don't go home enough, and you feel guilty about that, right? And so Sarita was very much a time girl when we were kids. You know, she'd get out there and play ball with the rest of us. And, you know, her brother, older brothers, Malcolm and Dwayne, were among my closest cousins. And those of you that remember the old Catfish One franchise, my cousin Joe Michael ran those. His brother Chuck was the head football coach at Taylorsville High School, won a state championship with Ty Keys as his quarterback. Younger brother Jonathan, of course, John Howard Robertson, the son of Howard Lewis, that ran a maintenance department at R.H. Watkins High School there in Laurel for many, many years. He was also, and still is, I guess he still got some Corvettes, but he used to collect Corvettes and restore them. But I come from a great family. I do. I'm very proud of my last name and proud of who and what it represents. But, you know, you get busy, man. You get, you know, you get involved with life. You know, you start making a family of your own, you get involved paying the mortgage, and, you know, there's so many things to worry about, and sometimes you just kind of lose track of people. It's not that you love them any less, you just don't see them as often. And something like this happens, and all of a sudden you go through all this guilt, and it's like, man, you know, well, I wish that I would have paid closer attention. But that's what happens, you know, when you're kids, I mean, eventually you become adults, and when you become adults, you have adult responsibilities, and everybody understands that, but yeah, if you are of the praying kind, we certainly covered your prayers. It's been difficult. I'm not going to lie. It has been difficult. And my brother called me today, and we kind of reminisced about some of our great memories in Ellisville. You know, my grandfather, Otis Robertson, who I never got to meet, He passed along before I was born, married Mildred Intrican. Those are my people. And Mildred was actually his second wife. He married Gracie Intrican first, and she died of appendicitis. And if you've read When the Bottom Falls, you've read some about this. And so he ended up marrying her sister. He was involved in the timber industry for a while, and he had my Uncle Snooky, who was Otis Jr., and Jack. And my Uncle Jack was a man's man if there ever was one. He was not the kind of guy you wanted to mess with. That simple. You did not mess with Uncle Jack, and everybody knew it. Yeah, it's a true story. I could write a book about these folks, and maybe someday I will. But all that I understood, you know, he would bring, you know, Otis Jr., Snooky, and Jack, and they would stay with my great-grandparents and the lady that would eventually become my mother, Mildred, my grandmother, Mildred, and my dad's mom. And eventually they fell in love many years later, got married, and they had 11 kids. So 13 in all. So big, big family, you know. And again, I'm very, very proud of our Jones County folks and what they've done over the years to make Jones County a better place. And by turning Mississippi a better place. So I share that with you because here's the deal. You know, we've talked about this before. Like my dad, you know, he was blessed with the chance to say goodbye or at least see all of his siblings and his children and his wife in his dying moments. We're not all guaranteed that bedside goodbye. We're not. And Sarita was not. Nobody expected, completely unexpected scenario here. Nobody expected her to pass away Sunday night in her sleep. Sunday night. And, you know, those are the things that I think about. Because we all think we're going to have that bedside vigil, right? And everybody's going to be around you and, you know, everybody's going to be able there to hold your hand. And that wasn't the case. And so I share that with you because of the fact this is a very real life scenario. You're not promised that bedside goodbye. And that's either side of it. You know, you may lie on your deathbed with nobody around you other than medical professionals. And you also may not be that person that gets to be there to provide support to your loved one when they pass away. That's why it's so incredibly important not just to tell people, to show people that we love them now. Tomorrow's not promised for any of us. One day I'm going to be gone too. And I think about that a lot, to be honest with you. I do, probably more than most. And you start getting caught about legacy as I open a Diet Coke here. You get thinking about legacy and you know the lessons you learned. Have you taught your kids enough? Will they be able to fend in the world without you? You know, have you done enough to take care of your spouse? You want to put them in a situation where they got to go marry somebody else for survival? You know, I think about those things. Maybe you do too. But one of the things that I do take a lot of pride in is I tell my children and I tell my siblings and I tell my living parents and I tell my friends that I love them. I do. And that used to be difficult for me. Honest to goodness, it used to be very difficult for me to tell people that I love them. You know, because you never knew how people are going to interpret that. And I don't care anymore. I just don't care. You know, I tell my friends and there's some of my friends, I'll tell them, man, I love you, brother. And I can tell it's a little difficult for them. But I tell them anyway, because I would rather tell them and them to be a little bit uncomfortable, not knowing what to say back, than for them to face eternity tomorrow, not knowing how I felt about them. I shared with you guys a while back, one of the you know, promises I've made to myself is I'm going to reach out to a few friends each week, check on them, let them know I love them. Because one day, I'm not going to have that opportunity. And I'm not going to be that guy that has to say, man, I wish I'd have done more, wish I'd have said more, wish I'd have checked in more, because I've been that guy before. You know, my friend Grant Fontenot killed himself a few years back, and I didn't know. And I talked about it here on the show. It was very, very difficult, and I beat myself up for a long time about that. And it's kind of narcissistic in its core, right? Because you start thinking, well, maybe if I'd have said something, if I'd have done something, maybe I could have made a difference, and you know, maybe I could have. But that's not my burden to carry. And I had some friends. And back in Baton Rouge, he told me, Steve, don't beat yourself up about this. I talk to him every day. We never had a clue. this was happening. But it's one of those things that I am committed to, that I'm not going to let anybody put themselves in a situation where they feel alone. And again, I've reached out to some people. I just pray about it, and I say, you know what? Then all of a sudden, somebody will flash their mind that I hadn't heard of for a while. So I don't just message them on Facebook. I call them, and if they don't answer, I leave them a message so they can hear it in my voice. It's like, hey, you've been on my mind. I'm not sure what's going on with you, but I love you, and I want you to know that you're not alone. And I treasure your friendship, and if there's anything that I can do for you, I want you to reach out and let me know. I want to be a good friend. Those things are important to me. And so I hadn't talked to Sarita in a long time. You know, maybe a book signing down there in Ellisville. We went and did a book signing there at the library in Ellisville, and got a chance to see a lot of my cousins, and they were so incredibly proud to see me be part of all that. And, it's this thing. You think, man, we need to get together more often. But you don't make the time, do you? You don't. You say it, and you have the best of intentions, but we don't always do it. And so I share that with you because there is at least one person in your life that you probably need to check on. There's maybe some unresolved issues. Maybe we're all carrying some bitterness and some resentment. I'm going to tell you this, as a person that has come face to face with a lot of realities of life that aren't always positive, you don't want to live that way. You don't want to live with bitterness and resentment in your heart. Forgive, 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 forgive. Because forgiveness, in many respects, is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. It's true. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I plan to be in there on Thursday. That's the plan anyway. I'll be back in town Wednesday night. So on Thursday, I'm going to go kind of celebrate life a little bit. I'm going to get some Bulldog Burger Company. You should celebrate life, too, every chance you get. Bulldog Burger Company can help you do that. How many times do you go in a restaurant and you think, it's just okay today? It's just not the case at Bulldog Burger Company. There's so much consistency with what they do, the services they provide, the food that they deliver. It's wonderful. Go put your feet under their table and just let them take care of the rest. Right? Great food, great service, great portions at a great price with a great atmosphere and three great locations to serve you their level of greatness. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. If you're on the way to town or you're already in town, you're going to pass through and encounter some great folks at Bulldog Burger Company. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. In addition to that, have that great restaurant quality burger. If you're a newbie, no shame in that. Start with the Bulldog. Go in there and just say, be like a veteran. So, you know what? I want the Bulldog. And then get it dressed how you like it. And that'll be a good gateway burger into the Bulldog Burger Company experience. But if you want to shake it up a little bit, maybe get the mission, maybe get the pico de gallo on the side like I do. I'm not a big onions guy, as you guys know. I love the smokehouse. I love the pimentology add bacon, and that's what I'm going to have on Thursday. We're going to bring it back, put some hair on the chest, right? It's a real burger, and I don't even like pimento cheese sandwiches, but I love the pimentology hamburger. I do. I can't explain it, but I love it. I do. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. We didn't really recap the weekend. And I want to go back and talk about that just a little bit. But also, too, I want to kind of talk about where things stand in the SEC. And it's kind of a nightmare scenario in some respects. I mean, it truly is. You know, it's kind of like we talked about how great it was that Mississippi State wins the SEC in soccer. We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. But also, too, we won it and went undefeated in the league, and then Ole Miss didn't win a game in the league, and we're like, hey, that's a little bit of an added bonus, right? I mean, obviously, what happens at Mississippi State matters more, but it's kind of a bonus, kind of the cherry on top that Ole Miss struggled. Well, the shoe's on the other foot right now. Ole Miss football's playing well. We knew they were going to play well. I mean, honestly, I'm a veteran team. They went out and hit the portal hard, so we knew they were going to be good this year. And I think most of us felt like, they probably drop a couple of games. And I think we said, beginning of the year, they'd probably lose, at LSU and probably lose to Georgia. And then maybe we'll see what happens at Arkansas. We thought Arkansas would struggle a little bit this year, and they did against Ole Miss. Ole Miss absolutely obliterated them. And then Ole Miss loses to Kentucky. It's an unexpected loss. However, they've made it up with a win over Georgia. And they rush the field, even, you know, premature celebrations are kind of a big thing in Oxford, or so I hear. But, you can't knock it, man. That was not a fluke win. Ole Miss was a better team. People are like, well, you know, it rained a little bit. It did. You know, and Carson Beck, I mean, I've been so on and off again with him. After watching him play in person, I thought, this guy's not really that good. And then they go absolutely obliterate Texas, and you think, well, maybe I was wrong. And I think the Ole Miss defense really made Georgia uncomfortable. So the Rebels win that game 28-10. Jackson Dart just 199 yards passing. But I'll tell you, I really thought the key moment in this ball game was that second drive. Because you remember Dart throws the pick right on the first drive and he gets banged up. And you think, all right, here it goes. Georgia goes right in and scores. It takes a fourth down short run, but they get the ball in the end zone. And then Ole Miss has to take the field with the backup quarterback, not named Walker Howard either. You can make of that what you wish. But they put the backup quarterback in, and he takes him right down the field and scores. And you start thinking, you know what? This might be Ole Miss's day. It turns out that it was. Yeah. Yeah, Trey Harris still banged up too. Caden Lee with a big game for Ole Miss. So, again, hey, you can say what you want to. We can despise them all we want. But to say they're not a great team this year is to be short-sighted. I mean, that's just to be disingenuous. And now they're ranking in the top 12 of the playoff rankings. It might be up to us to keep them out of playoffs. And that's not necessarily a good thing. You never know what's going to happen in a rivalry game, but they're going to have a lot to play for. And based on what we have seen from Ole Miss offensively and in what you've seen from Mississippi State defensively, it's not a good matchup. It's just not. Florida versus Texas. The game went about as we expected. And not to mention, too, of course, Florida had to play with 13 quarterback. And that's a recipe for disaster. Guys, it's 35-0 before anybody got comfortable. And then Texas rolls to a 49-17 win. Quinn Ewers kind of been in the news a little bit here as of late. Thanks to the folks at Barstool. Somebody screenshot some messages of an inappropriate nature that have made the rounds. And you can say they're inappropriate. You know, they're not appropriate for our viewing, but I don't know the nature of that relationship. So I'm not judging. But nevertheless, are people surprised that college athletes are attracted to attractive females? Is that breaking news? Is there news? Is it newsworthy that guys in that position are pursuing women? It's true. To be honest with you, I kind of side on the side of the kid, provided it's not completely unsolicited, right? I mean, like if it's one of those things where it's just some creep out there, you know, sending messages and, you know, inappropriate, inappropriate nature. If it's a relationship, you know, maybe screenshotting that and sharing it with the world's not the the right thing to do. But again, it's out there. But Quinn Ewers, those guys playing well. Jacoby Jackson, 116 yards rushing on the ground. That's a thing you look at, too, with this Texas team, too. It's like when they are firing on all cylinders, they're difficult to beat. You know what happened in Mississippi State and Tennessee? We broke that thing down for you on Monday's show. Eager to see what that availability report looks like for Tennessee as they prepare to play Georgia this week. It's a big ball game. Dylan Sampson ran for 149 yards. And if I told you before the game that Nico Iamaleva, and I'm sure I said that wrong, he only threw for 174 yards and they held Sampson under 150, you'd think we won the game. If I told you we got three straight stops in a row in the first half, you'd say, you know what? State probably even led it to half. No, we didn't. Alabama and LSU. Man, was this an absolute bloodletting? It's crazy, man. I expected Alabama to win. I didn't expect Alabama to boat race LSU in Tiger Stadium, and they did, 42-13. It's like you look up and the game is really close, and next thing you know, it's an absolute blowout in Tiger Stadium. And so the natives are restless and really kind of getting after Brian Kelly these days. And a lot of people are like, hey, he's never going to win anything substantial here. Now you got to think last year they had a Heisman Trophy winner and didn't really play in anything prestigious after that. Garrett Nussmeier. The Garrett Nussmeier experience has been a wild one. He threw for 239 yards in the game, but it never really felt like in the second half that LSU had anything at all to offer. Jalen Milroe runs for 185 yards for Alabama. Oklahoma at Missouri, and Eli Drinkwitz never misses an opportunity to say something. Like, if he never misses a chance to kind of take a shot at somebody. And he went after Papa Stoops, you know, said that Bob Stoops had made some comments, so Oklahoma always beats Missouri. So that's not always the case now. Missouri wins 30-23 in that ball game. Very exciting game for those of you that watched it. What has happened to Oklahoma offense? Well, you talk about them missing Jeff Lebby. And listen, I understand things have not gone as well as we had hoped. But Oklahoma, you know, their fans are out there saying, you know what, hey, we don't need to fire Venables. Let's demote him and go hire somebody to run the offense or get a new head coach or whatever. And again, I go back to this whole thing, too. There are a lot of coaches out there, no matter how much they've spent in the Power 4 or 5, whatever you want to call it these days, as a coordinator, doesn't mean they're ready to take over a, you know, blue blood quality job like Oklahoma. And I can't blame Venables. He didn't hire himself. He was a hot name for a long time. And okay, well, we finally go get him. We'll get him here to Oklahoma. And it has not been good. It's not good at all. And so you begin to ask yourself, you know, what happens at Oklahoma? You know, South Carolina at Vanderbilt. I thought Vandy would win this game at home. But man, South Carolina, Shane Beamer and his staff really answering the bell here. Some really good wins. They found some big things down the stretch here. And who would have thought that we'd be calling a win over Vanderbilt a big deal at the beginning of the year? And Lenore Sellers, big ball game for him, 238 yards. Raheem Sanders, the Rocket, with 126. South Carolina's kind of a tough out. But South Carolina, Vanderbilt, now both bowl eligible. You know, I think Arkansas, if we turn it in the right direction themselves, they'll beat Louisiana Tech. And, you know, again, it's shaping up to be a very quiet offseason. It is. And I don't know if that's really a great thing. There's some things I want to talk about later in the show, too, about that. But, you know, looking at the standings of the Southeastern Conference, and that's still an important thing, too, to play in the conference championship game. You know, a lot of teams still in contention for that. Tennessee is currently 5-1 in the SEC. They're tied with A&M, who's 5-1. So if the SEC championship game was this weekend, they would play. However, they've also played one more conference game than some of the teams behind them. Texas has only played 5 conference games. So, you know, there's a lot to be determined. Georgia now 5-2, Ole Miss 4-2 in the league. But, yeah, I mean, you begin to look at this thing, you know, when you begin to look ahead to this weekend, and we'll do that now just to kind of give us a quick glance at what the SEC schedule looks like. Some big games that will likely determine a lot in the standings of the Southeastern Conference and the college football playoff. Okay, Texas is at Arkansas. That's your 11 a.m. game. You got to feel like Arkansas will be up to play this game. Texas favored by nearly 2 touchdowns. Louisiana Monroe is at Auburn. And, man, Auburn, you talk about struggling, man. Goodness gracious. It's rough, man. It's hard out here for a pimp. And the Tigers are going to play 11:45 against Louisiana Monroe. And you start thinking about this Louisiana Monroe thing. Guys, they're 5-4. This isn't the ULM of old. Now, they've lost 3 in a row. You know, they got off to a 5-1 start. They've lost to South Alabama and at Marshall, and then they lose to Texas State, and then they go to Auburn. So you gotta feel like Auburn's going to get a win here, and man, do they ever need one. I mean, they absolutely have to have one and favored big time. But, you know, the Tigers are 3-6. Favored by 24 points, but 3-6. And when you begin to kind of work through what they have left to play, after you get through Louisiana Monroe, you host Texas A&M, and then you got to go to Alabama for the Iron Bowl. Do you expect them to win out? That's what's going to be required to be bowl eligible. And I would say no, no. So, you know, the ground floor, the foundation of the Hugh Freeze experience at Auburn has not been laid. Murray State is at Kentucky. No line on the game. The Racers, you know, obviously we're big friends with Jody Wright there, but they're 1-9 on the year. You know, Kentucky's going to take that game as well they should. Would love to see Murray State win the game just for Jody. But, you know, the Wildcats are now 3-6 too. And you begin to work through this. They get through this ball game, they're 4-6. Then you got to go to Texas. And then you get the rivalry game at home against Louisville. So Kentucky staring 5-7, 4-8, right in the face. And as a guy that has watched them hide in the SEC East for so many years, I love it. I love it. Mercer is at Alabama. That's a 1 o'clock game. You know that's not going to be a big deal. Mercer, however, is 9-1 of the FCS. So, I mean, they may come out there and maybe give you a surprise for a quarter and a half. But Alabama, you know, the path sets up well for Alabama. We talk about the playoffs. And we knew that they'd probably drop a couple games this year. They have. You get Mercer and then Oklahoma and then Auburn. So you close out at home those last two games. Alabama will be favored in every game the remainder of this season. LSU goes to Florida. The Tigers are 4.5-point favorite there. And again, you look at this Florida scenario too. Guys, they're 4-5. And look at what they have left. They got LSU coming in, who's angry. Then they get Ole Miss coming in. And then you got to go to Florida State for the rivalry game. Of course, Mike Norvell fired his coordinators. But you got to think about that. Is Florida going to win two of the last three? I would say probably not. Are they going to beat LSU? I don't know. They're going to beat Ole Miss? I don't think so. They're going to beat Florida State? Maybe. So you got to split one of these two SEC games and then maybe find a way to win against Florida State. You know, Mike Norvell and those guys are under the gun too. You know, and even there's some reports out there that Deion Sanders may be, you know, connected with that job. I just don't think there's going to be a job opening at Florida State this year. Not after what they did last year. We're not the days of you know, the quick trigger on these coaching changes are probably over, barring a scandal. It's not going to happen. Missouri at South Carolina, and who knew that that would be a big game between two top 25 opponents here in the middle of November. South Carolina favored by 12. That's an interesting line, especially at, you know, Missouri's not a bad team. South Carolina may be a little bit better, but they're also at home too. But 12 points is a lot. Game of the week, probably Tennessee at Georgia. A lot of people are billing this as a college football elimination game. Georgia favored by 10 at home as it stands right now. As I joke with Bill Martin last week before our game kicked off, we're talking about Ole Miss beating Georgia. I said, oh, Kirby, he'll get him right for next week. Yeah, for sure. The last thing Tennessee wanted, right, was a Georgia team desperate to stay in the FBS playoff rankings. And so, yeah, I expect Georgia to come in here and get after Tennessee. And you think about it, too. If you are an Ole Miss hater, you know, I don't think that Georgia winning hurts Ole Miss. You know, Ole Miss and Tennessee won't play. Tennessee currently ranks 7th in the playoff. If Georgia beats Tennessee, does Tennessee fall behind Ole Miss in the committee rankings? I don't think so. And so it could be a scenario where Georgia beating Tennessee may allow both of those teams to stay ahead. And if it's a two-loss Tennessee team against Ole Miss on resume, do you pick Ole Miss over Tennessee? Yeah, I think if everybody ends up with two losses, I think Ole Miss may be the odd team out. But that win over Georgia is loud. The loss to Kentucky is terrible. New Mexico State's at A&M. You know, last year, New Mexico State and Jerry Creel kind of ruined the party for Auburn. It's been a much different scenario this year as the Aggies are now 2-7. But, A&M should win that game. But, a lot to kind of look forward to. And we'll preview this stuff on Friday more in depth. But, it's going to be another wild weekend. And our picks last week, we did pretty well. I did pick Georgia to cover. They didn't. I picked Vanderbilt to cover, and they didn't. We got everything else right. Even picked Mississippi State to cover, and they did, which means nothing in the win-loss category. But nevertheless, This is an interesting Saturday because his people are kind of jockeying for postseason positioning. And again, we talk about the rev share and things like that. You know, so much of that, you know, the big, big pot that we all dip out of is largely comprised of bowl revenue too. And so you're facing a scenario now where Auburn may miss a bowl game, Kentucky may miss a bowl game, Florida may miss a bowl game. None of those things are good for Mississippi State. You know, I don't cheer for anybody. I don't cheer for the league unless it's an AFL championship or the playoffs, because the more money they make, the more money we make. But I don't cheer for them to win the bowl games, but I want them to make the bowl games because it's more revenue for Mississippi State. And so, yeah, I cheer for them to make the postseason. I don't cheer for them to win in the postseason. That's, you know, call me a hater, but that's how I feel about it. But, yeah, interesting times within our league. And real quickly here, we'll take a look at the latest FBS playoff rankings too, just so you kind of know where things are.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Because I know what you're rooting for and against in this. I feel the same way. It's true. But let's see here. Let's see if we can't find. There's so many people that are aggregating everybody else's content. It just kind of waters everything down. And then there's these other people out there that want to take. So like the FBS playoff rankings are free. And then people want to go put them behind a paywall. Yeah, that's not good, man. You know, it's like, come on. You know, come on. But, you know, and it's like the NCAA website is kind of getting involved with all this stuff too. You know, it's like, guys, you are the guys making the, you're the guys making the rankings, so we don't need you to provide your commentary either. Does it make sense? Am I wrong about that? I just, you know, that's how I see it. Let me see here, because it is Tuesday, right? Yeah, it's still Tuesday. Here's what I saw earlier. Here is what I saw. And you can't find it now. So let's see here. College football playoff rankings. Oregon at number 1. And how could you dispute against that? Ohio State is 2. Texas is 3. Penn State is 4. Indiana, undefeated Indiana, now 10-0 with a win over Michigan. Number 5. BYU is 6. Tennessee is 7. They stay at 7. They're really the only team in the top 15 that didn't have upward or downward mobility. Notre Dame is up to 8. Miami loses last week. They drop 5 spots to 9. Alabama up a spot to 10. Ole Miss up 5 spots. The highest climber in the rankings with that win over Georgia, now 11. So as of now, Ole Miss is in the playoff. Georgia, 7-2. Of course, they've played one less game. They dropped 9 spots. And to be fair about that, Ole Miss and Georgia have the same number of losses. Ole Miss beats Georgia head-to-head. Yes, Ole Miss deserves to be ahead of them in the rankings. There's no other way around it. Number 13, Boise State, down a spot, SMU, 8-1, down a spot, A&M, 7-2. Of course, a lot of those teams, you know, won last week or were idle last week, but because of the fact that Ole Miss moved up considerably, somebody had to move down. And that's how it sits today. But, yeah, I mean, obviously it could be a complete nightmare scenario for Mississippi State that we don't win an SEC game and then Ole Miss finds its way into the FBS playoff. And there are a lot of people that have had a lot of thoughts about that, too, and they've shared many of that on the jeanspage.com message boards. And what I would tell you about that is, you know, the one thing that I have learned in all the years of being associated with this rivalry is that nothing motivates State or Ole Miss more than seeing the other have success. That's true. Nothing. And so it's as long as everybody's like, you know, 6-6, 8-4, and you're playing for hoping to get into a Florida bowl game, maybe a Tennessee bowl game in a bad year, everybody's just kind of okay. But when there begins to be some separation in the rivalry, and it's been this way on both sides. You know, how many of you realize, you know, in 1998 when State goes out and wins the SEC West Championship and we celebrate that championship at Vaught Hemingway Stadium and parade the golden egg around there and everybody was so excited, you know, we were beginning to kind of put our foot on their throats a little bit. And then there was some people, you know, the Ole Miss brain trust said, hey, we got to slow Jackie Sherrill down. They did. Dan Mullen comes in here, begins to get some separation. They chase Houston Nutt off. They go out and hire Hugh Freeze, and I still think we should have won that game that year. And we won three Egg Bowls in a row. We should have won a fourth. But, you know, again, Ole Miss began to see some separation, so you know, they get going. And it's been like that on our side, too. You know, it's just you look at the Sylvester Groom side of things, right? When Houston Nutt kind of got it going in Oxford, and they beat us 45-0 back in 2008, I remember, because I've got people that were in the vehicle with Greg Byrne on their way to Oxford, and he's like, hey, we just need to be competitive in this game. We already had a new offensive coordinator lined up. And we go over there, and we give you 45-0. Like we had a little quit in the team. Ole Miss goes to their Cotton Bowl, and our people are like, enough, right? And so there is always going to be the reactionist in the rivalry. Because when you begin to look at the bigger picture here, and there is a bigger picture here, it's like when one team begins to kind of emerge on the national stage and the other one's kind of playing catch up, you know, you've got to do what you got to do. And so, you know, my hope is that, you know, we'll get motivated a little bit here, but it's not just about our administration, it's about our fan base too. It's about all of us. You know, it's not just enough to say, well, you know, this is the world in which we live, so we just need to make the best of it. No, in order to make the best of it, we've got to make our best effort, put our best foot forward. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And that's one thing that I will give the Ole Miss people a lot of credit for, truthfully. Now, they may tear each other apart when things go poorly, but when they're all pulling in the same direction, they really pull. And everybody's like, hey, I want to be a part of this. You know what? I may be a person that can only donate $25,000 to the or $25 a month to the collective. If they could do $25,000, they would. It's like, hey, but I'm a part of this. You know, I'm a shareholder in Ole Miss football, and so yeah, I'm going to give a monthly contribution, and I'm proud to do it because I believe that we're headed in the right direction, and I want to make sure that our coaches, even if my donation is just $1,000 a year, I want to do what I can. And there is a certain amount of emotional investment that goes along with the financial part of it. On the Mississippi State side of things, we have some of those people too. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of those people, like there's a gap. Like we've got some old silver-haired dogs that if you call them and say, hey, we need a check for this, they'll just write you a check. And then, in the meantime, they got to be asked, but they will. And then we've got some young people that's like, hey, you know what? I'm doing what I can. But there's a gap in there somewhere where we have some people that feel like, hey, you know, somebody else has always written a check. And so it's their responsibility. And that's on the Ole Miss side. I think their fans, by and large, think it's their responsibility. And I'm envious of that, to be honest with you. I am. I wish more people felt like that. Like, hey, if it is to be, it's up to me. I've got to be involved here. And listen, we have people, and we lose a ball game. It's like, I'm going to cancel my Bulldog Club contributions. I'm going to back out of anything that I did for NIL. And, of course, they're transitioning you over to the X1's Fund now. And there are people that will contact you, and there'll be some onboarding with that. I saw a post today where a guy said, hey, not only did I agree to have my donations transferred over, I've increased my contribution 25%. And God bless you for that, right? We need more Bulldogs like that. And so it's not enough just to talk about it. We got to be about it. It's true. And again, you know, I think about like the Arkansas Razorbacks and the LSU Tigers and people like that. And I wish we were a lot more like that. You know, we can't just sit back and say, okay, well, somebody else will do it. Because in the past, somebody always has. And then we have people to come back and say, well, you know, it's the same old Mississippi State. Well, I mean, it's the same old Mississippi State because we have some people that have just kind of decided it's somebody else's problem. It's somebody else's responsibility. I'm just here to be entertained. I'm not going to invest. I'm just here for the entertainment. I just want to watch on TV, right? And you know what? We have some fans out there. That's all they can afford to do. I get it. I'm not letting people off the hook, though. When you look at what Ole Miss has done in recent years under Lane Kiffin, if you don't realize the separation between the programs right now, I don't know what this year could illustrate any greater. And we can talk about, well, you know, they've had a comprehensive NIL plan. Here's the thing about that, too. You know, when you're shooting fish in a barrel, you're going to fill the stringer up a lot more than if you're out there fishing in the reservoir by hand. And again, I think Charlie Winfield and his group have done an amazing job, but I don't think they've had as many fish running and jumping in the boat. You know, we're okay, right? I mean, we've done okay. But there's an esprit de corps. And again, the Ole Miss people were all in for this year, right? They're like, hey, got Jackson Dart back. We got a veteran team. We hit the portal hard. And it's like, yeah, we need to make sure we stay here. It's taken us forever and a day to get back here. We want to stay here. And if that requires us to make a little bit more of an investment, that's what we're going to do. And so, you know, again, I'm not going to beat up our fans, but some of you, you know, if I step on your toes, I hope it hurts, because there's some people out there that can help us that aren't helping us. And, you know, I don't want to have the whole poor old state mentality. I think Mississippi State can do great things, you know. But I also understand, too, that, you know, we're facing some very difficult trials ahead of us as an athletic administration. I'm going to get to that after the top 10 list. We'll get to that in the campus bookmark segment of the show. Time now for the top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. So if you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair is the guy to talk to. Nearly 24 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry, right? This is not, he's not a new jack to any of this stuff. He has seen it all and done it all. Rates are starting to come down too, and we may see rates come down even more. But Blair is a guy that lives and dies that sort of thing, so he's very, very in tune with what's happening with interest rates. And he can tell you when it's a good time to buy. But, you know, you may not be in a situation where that you can wait for the best time to buy. Maybe you're being transferred. Maybe you've got a relationship change. Maybe you're having to look for something new. Look for a new home. Or maybe you're thinking about that game day condo that will eventually become your retirement home and you could come be my neighbor. Give Blair a call today at 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344, and get those 24 years of experience working for you. He knows how to construct loans in a way to get them approved through underwriting. He'll also get you that pre-qualification letter. And kids, I'm going to tell you now, that is like the Holy Grail. When they understand you've already got preliminary approval through underwriting and you've got a range that you're going to be approved for, your real estate agent can kind of get that taken care of very, very quickly, right? And you don't want to be shopping above your means. Listen, I get it. Everybody wants the big house out in the country or the big house on the golf course. Maybe you're not ready for that. Maybe emotionally you're ready for that, but financially you may not be. Maybe you got to get that starter house just to kind of get going and build up some equity. And then down the road, you can roll that equity into a new home. And maybe, you know, your debt-to-income ratio and your income potential is much better. Blair can kind of help you with that too, kind of give you a plan to get you where you want to go. That's Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. Okay, I mentioned earlier that lost a dear cousin of mine, first cousin, her mother, my dad's sister. They grew up milking cows out there at the old dairy barn. But, so I put a top 10 list together, not necessarily dedicated to her, but maybe kind of inspired by her. We got some country stuff on here. We got some things on here about losing people when we shouldn't, you know, when we think. I'm a firm believer in this, too, is that God makes no mistakes. I don't always understand it, but I believe that to be true. There's always a bigger plan. And so that's kind of what I rest upon in these times of trouble. But I wanted to, again, there's some songs out here that I think she would like, but also, too, they're kind of appropriate for the moment. Number 10, we're going to go with Darius Rucker's Southern Style. It's about being raised in the South, and I am proud to be from the South. There is a certain bravado that is associated with being reared in the Southland, and we are the kind of folks that will do anything to help you, but man, if you ever cross us, we'll do anything to hurt you, right? Sarita was a little bit softer than that. You know, she was the kind of young lady that, you know, she learned how to quilt and things like that and canned beans and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, she was a true Southern girl, man. And I just thought the song was appropriate. Also, number 9 on here, and I don't want this to sound macabre, it's a track called The Funeral by Band of Horses. I really dig that band. My buddy Blake Dees turned me on to them. You know, the song The Hurricane, love that song. This one is a little bit softer too, but I like all of you, I hate funerals, but like it's not there for me. You know, the funeral is not there for me other than the fact that it gives me a chance to be with the people that I love and pay my respects and say goodbye to a friend or family member. You know, you're there for yourself, but you're mainly there for other people, right? It's not for your entertainment. I don't like death either. Nobody does, right? Except some freaks out there. But unfortunately, I won't be able to make the funeral on Thursday. I can't commit 2 days to this. But I'll be down tomorrow evening. But the thing that I know for sure is that every time that I've gone to a funeral and I've been able to hug, you know, a parent, you know, of someone that I lost or, you know, a child or somebody like that, somebody that their loss is much, much greater than mine. I know that I have walked away feeling like that I tried my best to provide some level of comfort to that person. All right, number 8, and this is a Mississippi boy. He's from Batesville. I think he's probably a rebel, but he kind of split the difference on this song. He mentions the cowbell, and then he mentions the rebels winning. But it's a track called When You Think of Mississippi. And I can tell you, Sarita Rousey Mills never lived anywhere other than Mississippi. And she was absolutely a Mississippi girl and exemplified the values. Hardworking, family-oriented lady, a wife, a mother, a grandmother of two sweet grandbabies, and saw a picture of her walking along, holding hands with both of those grandchildren, and I absolutely lost it, man. I began to think about them growing up without her loving guidance. I mean, there is just a warmness that only the grandmothers can provide. And so thinking about her children, having more children that don't get the privilege of knowing their grandmother, it saddens me greatly. Number 7, I had to work in a little bit of rock here. I had to. And I like them Dirty Roses. I don't know if you guys do. I dig them. We've talked about them on the show before, but it's Grew Up in the Country, and it's a song really about, you know, growing up with, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Hank and that sort of stuff. You know, Daddy's Rock and Roll kind of got to me, you know. But she's definitely a country girl in every aspect. I've kind of already illustrated that point. But there wasn't anything that was beneath her, right? I mean, you know, she was the kind of person to get out there and do what needed to be done. You know, the kinds of people that this country was founded on, right? Nothing was too good. She was never too good to do anything. If there was work to be done, she was going to take care of it and helped everybody in her community. And if you see all the people commenting, you know, on her Facebook wall too, it warms the heart, right? To think that she had such a positive impact on so many people's lives. And again, she gets a lot of that from her mother, who learned it from my grandmother. That's what we did, right, in our family. Everybody just kind of took care of each other in the community. All right, number six, a song that I was not as familiar with, but I really dig it. It's Avril Lavigne. Many of you know they're from Complicated and Skater Boy and all that kind of stuff, and I'm With You. It's a track called Slipped Away, and that's kind of how this feels. Like, it's like all of a sudden it's, you know, she was part of our lives and maybe not somebody that I interacted with on a daily basis, but then all of a sudden I look up and she's gone, and now there's this regret, right? It's true, but I'm proud of the family that she built and the legacy that she leaves behind, absolutely. All right, number five, it's Diamond Rio, It's One More Day. And some of you are very familiar with that song. It's not a new song, but how many times do we have that feeling? I wish I had one more day. And the thing that I thought about while listening to the song was, I wish we had one more family reunion out at the Ponderosa, which is what my dad used to call that, the farm out there on Augusta Road. I wish we had one more, getting all those cousins together. We used to figure that out. I think when my dad died, there were 101 descendants of Otis Robertson. And if my memory serves me correct, I had 46 first cousins. I think that's right. Maybe to mass off a little bit. But it's a lot of first cousins. A ton. But, man, I would love to be able to have that, you know, everybody get together again. And my kids have got some cousins they don't know, which is a shame, right? And that indictment falls on me. But that's kind of what happens. I remember, you know, being a kid and showing up out there. It was a big deal when my brother and I came to town, right? Because like our regular cousins who live in Ellisville, they saw each other all the time. So we show up, you know, and spend a couple days, and you know, you're out there jumping, you know, back and forth on hay bales and things like that, and playing ball in Granny's front yard, and it's a big deal. And I miss those times. I really do. Number four, we did an Alanis Morissette set list a while back. And I probably should have put this one on here. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. Not just the instrumentation, lyrical content, but the vocal delivery is just superb. It's Alanis Morissette's Not As We. Not As We. And it's a very crafty, intelligent song, and it kind of fits the mood. All right, so the last three, we got to go country all the way here. We do. And we included a Mississippi boy earlier that I think may be a rebel. And I think we could probably confirm that. But here's a guy that's a bulldog all the way through and through. It's Hardy's Give Heaven Some Hell at number three. It's a great song. There's some times in my life I put that song on and it bring me to tears, man. I think about some of the people we've lost. Had a chance to visit with Hardy out in Omaha. It was great. Love his support of Mississippi State. It's amazing. Number two, Cole Swindle. A song kind of in the same vein is Give Heaven Some Hell, but it's You Should Be Here. You Should Be Here. Yeah, great song. Everybody's going to be here. Everybody's going to be getting together to celebrate the life of Sarita. And I'm sure she'll see us, but I wish she'd be there. I wish we'd maybe all gotten together for a birthday party or something, you know. Number one, though, it's Carrie Underwood, See You Again. And I'm a firm believer in that. I don't think those that are lost from us are finally separated from us. I don't believe that's the case. I'm not going to have a religious discussion with you here on the show. But I do believe there is something beyond this life. And I could speak about that for a long time. I'm not going to. But I wanted to do something again to kind of share the mood a little bit and also honor my cousin and all of those who loved her and continue to love her and are now loving on her children and her grandchildren to help them cope with the loss of Sarita. And it'll be a difficult day tomorrow. And it's one of those things too, like people mean well when they ask you, you know, but we talk about dumb questions. You know, it's like when you go to a funeral or you go to a visitation and again, people mean well. And I think people just don't know what to say. They go, well, how did it go? Well, they all go the same way. They're all sad. And that's part of it. It's like you push down your own feelings for a while and then you get there with everybody else. And then the gravity of what you've lost collectively bubbles up. And you cry on shoulders and you slap backs and you say, we need to get together again. And I love you and I'm sorry what you're going through. And you mean it. You know, It is. And listen, there are some people, you know, you may have a neighbor die or something, think, oh, it's terrible, you know, but you don't really have emotional connection with them. But when you go to the funeral of a friend or a family member and somebody that you really loved, there's going to be a vacancy in your life and in your heart. It sucks, man. It does. There's no need to ask me. And again, I know that's coming from a good place. But the reality of it is that all of these visitations and funerals pretty much go the same way. And again, I am from South Mississippi, and I have been to both funerals and weddings where fights broke out. You know, there's some redneck qualities within that upbringing. But yeah, it'll be a difficult day on Wednesday. It's one of the reasons I'm kind of getting the show, because I don't want this to be on my mind tomorrow, right? I want to be able to just dedicate the day to the people that I love and the people that loved me, you know, before many of you knew my name, you know. And my Uncle Harold, as I mentioned earlier, you know, just an incredible man. The kind of guy that always looks you in the eye, right? And looks you in the eye almost in a way that's intimidating. Not that he means it to be, but there's just an honesty, an integrity with him that when he looks you in the eye, you know you got to be honest with him. You know, and that's hard to describe. It really is. He shakes your hand and he looks at you in a way that, you know, you're dealing with a man's man. You're dealing with a guy that's built on integrity. And if you're not prepared to kind of deliver that in kind, it's going to be an uncomfortable situation. Not that he intends it to be, but he is that kind of person. And so, yeah, I'm going to go and support them, you know. And I'll get some comfort from that too, you know. But, you know, to sit here and compare my loss to theirs would just be incredibly irresponsible. It's a collective loss, but their share in that loss is much greater than mine because she wasn't part of my daily life. And maybe she should have been. But that's not a burden that I'm going to carry because she wouldn't want me to carry that. I mean, we all understand when you start raising kids and paying the mortgage, it's tough to keep up with everybody. You mean to, and you want to, and something like this happens, and you kind of beat yourself up a little bit and said, I should have done more. But I believe if you do the best you can, that people appreciate that. And that's one good thing about social media and Facebook and things like that. I mean, all of a sudden you see, you know, you see your cousins and your siblings and you see their children kind of grow up and become parents of their own. And while you're not there, you kind of get to witness it too, and you get to comment and things like that. And like today, when Lakin Mills, Sarita's daughter, shared something that I wrote about her mom, my Uncle Harold, you know, jumped in and told me, he goes, hey, your dad will be really proud of you. You know, and it made me emotional. It does. And I've been really soft-hearted all day, you know, thinking about what's ahead and thinking about, you know, about life in general. And one of the things that I have always tried to do is to make those people that love me proud of me, because I had to start with less than zero, right, as a young adult. You know, I had a lot of problems in life. I did. But I've overcome them. And I know that I truly believe my dad, even though he would want me to get a haircut and not get as many tattoos, I believe my dad would be very proud of the man that I have become, the husband that I have become, and the father that I've become before all of any of this. All the Mississippi State stuff would just send him over the moon, but I think he would be most proud of the fact that I have always taken care of my family. And not just financially, but I have taken care of my family. And I could, that's one of the things too. And I said this, you know, when I was having some difficult times, you know, in 2022. And I remember saying this to a friend of mine. I said, here's the one thing that I know for sure is I can't promise you what the rest of my life will look like, but I will not have to see my dad in the afterlife and explain to him how I bailed on my family. I'll never have to have that conversation with him. I know that I have done the right thing by my family and by my wife and certainly my children. I know the example that I have set for them and that, you know, the protection and love and support that I have provided them. And that's a side of me you guys don't really get to see, right? A lot of people, you know, they see the long hair and the tattoo or something. They think I'm going to get on a Harley or whatever and ride off into the sunset on Route 66 or something. But, you know, I met a woman that changed my life for the better, made me want a better life, And it has not always been easy, but it has always been worth it. And I know that my dad will be proud of the man that I have become. And I hope that you can say the same. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. You should too if you don't already. It is without a doubt the best place to shop for Mississippi State merchandise. They know what maroon looks like. You go to one of these third-party sites, you may get a crimson shirt. You know it's true. Many of you dealt with that during the national championship celebration, right? You know what happened. So avoid that, because Miss Kathy Brown knows exactly what you want. Whether you're looking for Bulldog apparel, gift ideas, whether it be a graduation gift, that diploma frame is always a winner. We're going to have some December grads too, so you can be the favorite grandparent or the favorite aunt or uncle by buying that exquisite Mississippi State diploma frame and present that to them on graduation day. And you know what? They're going to put that up on their wall in their office of their home. And every time they see it, they're going to think of you. What a great and thoughtful gift. I'm so glad I thought of it, right? So bought both of my girls' diploma frames from Campus Bookmart as well. Again, time to start thinking about that. But Christmas will be here before you know it. And every Bulldog on your list wants Bulldog apparel or Bulldog gifts. It's true. Make life easier on yourself. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling face, you shop online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75. Absolutely incomplete. I said we were going to talk about some business stuff during this segment. We're going to go ahead and recap the men's basketball game, as that is now final. Again, your Bulldogs now 3-0 with an 80-59 win over Southeastern Louisiana. It was a tussle in the first half. State led by just three, 40-37, and then really kind of took control there in the second half on the defensive end, limiting the Southeastern to just 22 second-half points while the Bulldogs maintained their average of 40. So a 40-22 second half, 80-59 final. And I mentioned there's always that one guy. Guys, Cam Burton for Southeastern comes off the bench and pitches in 17 to lead the Lions. They also got 14 from Sam Hines Jr. And those were not just three-point baskets for Sam Hines. Now, Cam Burton was 5 of 10 from beyond the arc, and they only made 9 of 25. So they came out looking to pitch it, and they did. The Bulldogs, not a great night from the perimeter either. Just 7 of 28, Josh Hebbard with 4 of 8 from 3 points to hit 23 points to lead all scorers on the evening. Kanye Clary, 12 points in 24 minutes of action. Keyshawn Murphy, pretty good night for him. 10 points on the night, pulled down 6 rebounds in just 19 minutes of action. Cam Matthews, 30 minutes, 3 of 6 from the floor, did knock home a three-pointer. He didn't do a lot of that, but 13 rebounds, doing the grunt work, setting the picks, getting out there and really competing. I thought Richard Williams made a good point. Even though Cam was back in the starting lineup tonight, he wasn't in game number 2, and maybe that was to kind of, you know, prevent him from getting into foul trouble, because Cam plays with such effort, right? And at times he gets, you know, a little bit boisterous and gets into foul trouble. 7 points for him tonight, but 13 rebounds, 10 of them on the defensive end. So big night for him. Riley Kugel, you know, it's just kind of been hot and cold with him. He had a decent game last time out, 22 minutes of action and just 3 points, and that came via a three-point basket, 1 of 4 from beyond the arc and 1 of 5 from the field, pulled down just a couple of rebounds. Sean Jones Jr., a guy that's a bit of an unheralded hero on this team, definitely an effort guy, definitely a great defender, 18 minutes of action, 9 points for him off the bench. Claudio Harris Jr., 21 minutes of action and 8 off the bench, 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. Right? So, kind of part of the deal. Not getting a ton of play in the 5. Michael Nwoko with just 6 points in 10 minutes. Gatchell, with just 4 minutes of action, did not score. Daquan Warren, you know, younger guy, we're expecting some good things from, just played 3 minutes, and a lot of that late. But the reality of it is, you know, we're scoring, but on a night that we weren't especially prolific from beyond the arc, we still kind of win this thing going away. Bulldogs in the first half shot 43%, come back in a second, shoot 43%. I mean, just, you know, a shade different there. 43.75 compared to 43.3, but just 25% from beyond the arc, and we really struggled in the second half. You would think it would be the reverse. They got separation, so you found those baskets, you know, from beyond the arc late. We didn't. 5 of 14 in the first half, just 2 of 14 in the second half. Free throws, a bit of an adventure at times with this team. A much better night tonight. We shoot 73%. I mean, again, it's got to be better. But 12 of 16 in the second half, as you begin to kind of separate and they try to put you at the line to kind of give themselves some opportunities, 12 of 16, that'll win more times than not. But, you know, an interesting game. You know, lead changed hands two times. It was tied three times. But 25 points off the bench for Mississippi State, and we needed it as Southeastern, again, 31 points off the bench. Again, big night for Cam Burton from Southeastern. Again, there's always that random guy. I can't explain it. That's just the reality of life. Sometimes when you're Mississippi State, you got to deal with that. There's always that one guy. So next ball game will be this Sunday in South Haven. If you have not bought your tickets, we encourage you to do so. If you can't make it to town, you can watch the game on ESPN2 against Utah in the Mid-South Showdown. And again, I'm glad we're taking this thing on the road. And so look forward to that. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Utah on Friday. But, you know, first Power 4 opponent from Mississippi State. Not exactly sure kind of what they have. They're still kind of figuring it out too, just as we are. But I like our team. But we're going to have to be better in the post. And I had somebody recently tell me, I like what I've seen in the guys in the post. And, you know, the box scores don't bear that out, but that's not always the case. Sometimes you just need a guy in there to eat up some space and alter some shots and things of that nature. But Utah now 2-0. Now, to be fair, the two games they've played are against Alcorn State and against Central Arkansas. And they won both of those games handily. But they're averaging about 99 points a game. They scored 98 in the exhibition, 100 against Alcorn State, and then 98 against Central Arkansas. You know, we've been pretty prolific too. But, you know, they haven't played a team quite like ours defensively. Now, I don't know what the game went tonight. Let me take a quick look. They played Queens tonight. Let's take a quick look and see how they went. They may be 3-0. I'm sure they are. Let's see. Queens of North Carolina. You know, we had a lot of friends play them in baseball. We're going to play them this coming year. And so that game is not final yet, but as it stands right now, they are a 21-point leader with just 7 minutes to play. So we expect Utah to be 3-0, barring an unbelievable collapse here tonight. So it'll be a battle of undefeated teams. And as I say that, it's now 74-52. So, yeah, we fully expect them to go ahead and win that game. But, yeah, could be an interesting game. And, again, I think the quality of competition so far for both teams has left a lot to be desired, but that's what we expect this time of year. So, again, get your tickets. You know, many of you, of course, live in the greater Memphis area. I know Roy Samanti, our friend, will be there. You know, Roy, of course, the keeper of the great list for us, put those on Spotify for us, and give him a follow on Twitter and Spotify, Dogmatic67. That's DAWGMATIC67. And Bulldog's going to have some signees tomorrow on the men's and the women's side, as well as baseball, as we mentioned earlier today. And we'll have full coverage of all that over at jeanspage.com. The women, as you guys know, on Sunday, they beat Alcorn State. The ladies be back in action tomorrow at 11 a.m. That is the Education Day game. So we'll have a lot of school children that will attend the game. It's a great thing that we do. You're kind of cultivating the Bulldogs of the future, and not just Bulldog student athletes, but anytime that we can get our local kids on campus and kind of roll out the big maroon carpet for them, That's a big thing. We're going to take on Alabama State. Should be a game that we handle very easily. And then, of course, on Sunday, doubleheader, as the ladies will play in Chattanooga, play Chattanooga here in Starkville, and then we'll have that game in the evening in Hernando. And so that's important to kind of understand. Also, a couple miscellaneous things, too. I'm told that Mississippi State soccer tickets are selling at a very brisk pace. As I wrote an article earlier today, I was informed by somebody in administration, the passes that we are allocated through the university for students, there are 500 of those. Those were claimed by 6:30 on Tuesday evening, or Monday evening, 6:30. So we had the announcement show at 3. It was around 3:30 when we finally learned who we were playing. Tickets go on sale. And so those tickets have now been claimed. And that's at a faster rate than we've ever seen before. It's the best team we've ever had. And so there's still some student tickets available to be purchased. There's general public tickets available to be purchased. But, the early returns suggest it's going to be a historic day on the pitch for Mississippi State. Not just because we're going to take the field for the first time as a number one seed in an NCAA tournament game, but should be the largest crowd to ever witness a Mississippi State soccer game at home. And you want to be a part of that too, so come out and be a part of that Saturday. I will have to hustle back because I have a book signing Saturday in Jackson at 1 o'clock, and just to kind of keep you apprised of that too. I will be at Maroon & Company on Friday from 2 to 5, and then at Lemuria Books in Jackson from 1 to 2. That's this weekend coming up. I'll remind you guys on Friday. But if you're in Jackson and you need signed books or personalized books, come out to Lemuria. Or if you can't make it that day, you can phone in the order as well as your signing instructions, and we can get that done. You can pay over the phone, and they'll hold those books for you. Every time that I go, there's already some pre-sales. And so I encourage you, if you are thinking, hey, Saturday is going to be a busy day for me, Steve, as much as I'd like to see you and come hang out, I can't make it. We got plans. But you can still get your personalization taken care of. If you haven't done that through the DutyNobleBook.com website, you can do it through Mississippi's best bookstore, Lemuria Books, there in Jackson. So that's something to be mindful of, too. I want to share with you, too, Mississippi State baseball. You know, we've got some signees. And there's a chance, like as it stands right now, Mississippi State, according to Perfect Game, and that's an imperfect ranking system because of the fact that not every player attends a Perfect Game event. And so if they don't get a chance to evaluate you at their own events, you traditionally don't get very good rankings. But Mississippi State, in total cumulative points, as it stands right now, number 5 class in the country. When you do it by like star quality, State's number 2 in the country, behind only LSU. What's interesting, too, State has the fewest number of commitments for the 2025 class because, you know, we're preparing for, some roster attrition next year. You know, there may be, the new roster size. And so we're kind of having to be smart with that. But despite the fact that State has 12 commitments, when we had the fewest commitments in the top 15, if memory serves me correct, but yet here we are as the number 5 class. And so one of the better classes in the country. That's one of the things that people have been critical of Chris Simonis about. Hey, we're not recruiting well enough. This 25 class is great. The early stages of the 2026 class are great. Had a big one today with Hayes Holton out of La Ronger, Louisiana. State beats LSU head-to-head on a kid from Louisiana. That's a Justin Parker effect. He also visited Texas. A&M, Tennessee, all those schools offered. So one of the best players that Mississippi State has committed in the Chris Lamonis era does it this evening. And it's a small town guy. You know, not everybody from Louisiana is going to like Baton Rouge, right? I mean, it's like you take a kid, from say, Wiggins and say, okay, we're going to move you to Jackson. It can be a little bit intimidating. And we're taking a kid from La Ronger, Louisiana, as the kid said himself. They don't even have a red light in La Ronger. They just have a caution light, right? And it's a little bit of a culture shock for him. And so he's headed to Mississippi State to play for Chris Simonis and Justin Parker. Hey, if you hadn't done so, go check out the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, right? You can do so by just Googling Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will come up and you'll have the opportunity to peruse all of the amenities that are available to you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that amazing back porch area. You can really lounge out there, watch the sunset. It gets a little chilly. You get the fire pit area out there too. And whether it could be a work group, a family group, you're just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So maybe you're like, hey, we got some vacation time we need to use by the end of the year, and we really can't afford to take a big trip. Maybe get everybody together and take in some Mississippi State men's and women's basketball. You know, a lot of times we play on back-to-back days, kids are going to be out of school anyway. It's like, hey, let's just go plan a midweek trip to Starkville. We won't have to wait in line at our favorite restaurants. And again, we're just 5 minutes away from campus. So we'll show up on Tuesday. We'll go out and do a little shopping. We'll go watch some men play on Tuesday. We'll get out and go have breakfast at one of our favorite places, do a little more shopping, spend some time on campus. And we'll go to the women's game on Wednesday and go home on Thursday. That sounds like a great idea. I'm so glad that you mentioned that. But whether it's a ball game weekend, a couples weekend, a family weekend, I told you we're going to be there in a few weeks, and I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait to go enjoy this and have all of my kids under one roof and have my grandkids and let my children be able to spoil their nieces and to be able to sit back and watch it all. And we'll sit around, we'll play some games, and we're going to have a good time. And I'm sure Mom's going to cook some food. Because, again, that's a big part of it. You know, as a mom, you love to be able to take care of your family. And it's so great to be able to have everybody together. We can't wait to do it. Now, when you Google that, Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, some booking options are going to come up too. That's going to be Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you're saving some money at the premier destination in the Golden Triangle. Check it out today. All right, final segment of the show. And, you know, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. And we're going to have media availability with just players only on Wednesday for football. And, again, I won't be there. You know, got to hit the road. Again, going to do some family stuff. But Dave Murray, Mike Nemeth, Jacob Bain will keep you apprised of that. And of course, we've already got some stories pre-written for signing day tomorrow. So it'll be a big content day. And again, all of that stuff is free content. You know, it's not VIP stuff. So if you're not a member and you're just looking for some information about Mississippi State, we'll be tweeting it out and sharing it on Facebook and things of that nature. But jeanspage.com should be your absolute first stop when you're looking for Mississippi State information and recruiting in all sports. Of course, you know, we get out and do it all. You know, we love doing it. It's a passion for us. But tomorrow is going to be a day that a lot's going to happen, you know. And expecting, I guess, three signees on both the men's and the women's side. I think that's correct. And then we'll have 12 on the baseball side. Softball will have some signees as well, and we'll do our best to kind of get an overview. We'll kind of reach out to some coaches and kind of get some feedback from them in the days ahead. Because you know how it is, right? I mean, all hope springs eternal with these recruiting classes. There's a reason you sign these players. You're excited about them. You think they'll take you to the next level, and you're kind of getting familiar with them, right? Because the players that are signing now, you know, will be here next year. You know, and you know how things are going, right? I mean, the days of, you know, I remember like when Mario Austin came along, one of my dad's work friends made a comment. He goes, you know, I used to think that Richard Williams like didn't play these guys because he just kind of wanted them to mature a little bit. You know, you don't want to put that hotshot freshman out there and see him kind of, you know, run ragged. And then Mario Austin showed up and he said, now I kind of understand the difference between Mario Austin and typical freshman. He was a guy that was much more advanced. And, I don't know if we've got a Mario Austin in this class, but I trust Chris Jans, and I trust their evaluations, and there's a reason that we're kind of in contention now to be in our third consecutive NCAA tournament. That's an important part of things, right? And so it is okay to believe. It is also okay to believe that this team is imperfect at this point and that we are a work in progress. That's what the non-conference is for, right? For us to figure it out. Who we can trust, you know, what type of schemes work for us defensively and offensively. And you're going to have games like this. But the good thing is we have enough talent that it's not a situation where if one guy has a bad night, we're going to lose a ball game. And tonight's kind of like that, right? I mean, if we'd played a Southeastern Conference team, it may be different. But, you know, guys and ladies both tend to elevate based on the level of competition. So you got to think, it's tough to get out there. We talk about trust in the process. It's become a cliche. But it's one of those deals, too, where, you know, you want to treat every opponent with the same respect. But it's on human nature to think, you know what, I've got to elevate my game when we're going to take on Kentucky and teams like that. If you haven't received your book, and there's a few of you that haven't, let me encourage you to email the dutynoblebook.com website. If you, for some reason, you don't get a response or get satisfaction, then you can contact me, and I will send an inquiry on your behalf. But the bulk of the people that were contacting me and say, hey, I don't have my book yet, have their books now. So if you don't have it by now, there is a problem. Okay, and we had one situation where a lady ordered some books and then put in her physical address, and there's no mail receptacle because she gets her mail through a P.O. box. And so we had to reship those back out to them. Of course, I don't handle shipping, contrary to popular belief. This is not an enterprise where I just have all the books delivered to my garage and I mail them. I don't have anything to do with that. However, I can be your advocate if there's an issue and you're not getting the satisfaction you need, which it upsets me. You know, if you should be able to email and just kind of get your information. But all that understood, if you don't have them by now, there's an issue unless you just recently ordered. And basically, orders aren't sitting more than a day or two. And so you should have them shortly after you ordered them. But if you are a person that ordered in the beginning and you don't have them by now, there's clearly a problem. Okay, so please contact them and allow them the opportunity to look into it. So if you have an order number, please include that too. It makes it easier. They can look it up by your name if you were the person that made the order. But all that understood, again, very grateful to debut at number 5 on the Mississippi bestsellers list. It is something that is important to me. I'm not going to sit here and suggest that it's not. It's always nice to know that you're doing things that matter to other people. And I think books are a great gift idea, especially for people that are Mississippi State collectors and Mississippi State fans, even if they're not great readers. But I think everybody that reads the Dude is going to learn an awful lot about the history of Mississippi State and the life and times of Dude Noble. And so I encourage you to make a purchase. And maybe you haven't read a book in a while, and this is probably some good entertainment for you because it's about something you're passionate about. And so, to kind of bring you up to speed, a lot of people ask what's next. And again, we're kind of working through that. I touched on this a little bit, and we'll hopefully finalize a deal by the end of the year. And we will have a, another situation where we do a good deal of another biography. Probably do a series of biographies. I had never written a biography until the Dude. And so some people have asked me to write some other books. And so what we're thinking about is a series of biographies that we do over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, provided I live long enough to pen all those. You never know where life's going to take you. So that's the plan now. We had kind of kicked around the idea of doing another Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs type book. And we will do that eventually. And we got some other people lined up for that. Matter of fact, I've already got some interviews done for that I'm doing them now. So we have them just in case somebody passes away before we do another collection of those stories. But we've got several books planned. And, I'll take some time to enjoy this and this book tour. And reminder, I'll be at Maroon & Company on Friday from 2 to 5 in Lemuria Books in Jackson, 1 to 2. I'll have 3 signings in Lemuria before the year is out. So I'm going to be on the road a lot, but I'll keep you apprised of any changes to our recording schedule here. I know many of you will be happy that this show is up Wednesday morning for your enjoyment. Mondays are a more difficult day, because there's a lot that goes on Monday, and so a lot of times I wait and record the show in the evening so you get it Tuesday morning. So you've got this on Wednesday early in the day, and so we'll be back with you on Friday. The week tends to fly by when we have all these events and things like that. But again, I ask for your prayers for my family and certainly the Rouseys if you are a native or have ties to Ellisville, Mississippi, you know the Rousey family. And it's so interesting that Billy and Harold Rousey, two brothers, married two Robertson girls. And so all of their children are double first cousins. Yeah, I mean, that's as Southern as it gets, right? But I'm looking forward to being with my family and being able to kind of share some time together, even though it's in a time of grief. And reminder is always, you know, let people know you care about them. It's true. I can't say it enough. We could spend a whole show on how important that stuff is. But I don't want anybody that I love to leave this world without knowing how much I love them. And again, that's something that when I was younger was a problem for me. You know, I had a tough time. You know, you kind of say it out of social custom, you know, like, I love you too. You know, I know that every time that I tell my wife I love her, I mean it. I can feel it in my soul. And my favorite phrase in the world in the English language to ever speak is I love you too, because that means somebody else said it first. You know, it's a very special thing. But we get so caught up in so much fakery in life. We do. I mean, you know, it's like how many times have I seen, you know, the perfect relationship on social media, and then I read a newspaper article, you know, where there's been, you know, some level of violence or something within that relationship. And, you know, and I'm nosy like the rest of you. I go back and look on Facebook and see if there were any signs, you know, and there weren't. And there are a lot of people out there that are carrying a burden and fighting a war that we're unaware of. That's why I think it's so important to love other people. And again, no matter what your philosophical beliefs are, your religious beliefs, political beliefs, at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters. We're all facing a very, 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 very uncertain future. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House. Doesn't matter. Life is lived on life's terms. You know, you don't get to say, but hey, wait a minute, Grim Reaper, I voted for so-and-so. You know, I deserve this. Or, you know, we're not entitled to anything. And every day is a gift. And it's so cliche, but it's true. Every day is a gift. And every day that you wake up on this side of the grass, we got to live a life of gratitude. We do. And I'm very, very grateful to be alive and very grateful for who and what I have. And that includes all of you. And I don't always know how people feel about me. But the reality of it is, it's not really my business. I'm going to love you just the same. It's true. And I hope that you let the people that you love know how much you love them before the day is done. Let's wrap it up with that. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.